Thank you for coming today. So I'm from Purdue University, and this was an experiment that we conducted in 2010 through 2012. And what we're basically looking at is, does early fertilization on the establishment years enhance the development of those plants for future use? This is just an eye-catching slide. This is not actually fertilization, although it would be nice if that was the response, but that's actually just a cutting treatment that we were doing. So it's just an eye grabber. So what we did was we had two plots in two locations. One was in Lafayette, Indiana. The other was in Kentucky, southern Kentucky. And the Kentucky site was a marginal based on its water. It had a shallow water base in that it didn't drain very well. However, the Lafayette site was a coarse site. It was very sandy, and it was very evident in 2012 when we had the drought. What you see on the right is the Kentucky site, and on the left is the Indiana site. The long rectangle within the Kentucky site, we actually, this was in conjunction with Mendel Biotechnology at the time, and there were four genotypes, the Illinois clone, the Mississippi clone, which is derived from the Illinois clone, the Negara, which is a proprietary line, and the open-pollinated Negara, which is a seeded variety. So they were actually working on that. But what we see in the Kentucky site is that the Illinois and the Mississippi clone, for some reason, had this strip in there where they performed really poorly. And Mendel did some work with that and came to find out that there was some nematode issues and maybe as well some fungal issues there that the Illinois clone and the Mississippi clone seemed to be susceptible to. However, the Negara and the Negara sib, or the open-pollinated Negara, were resistant, or at least at the levels that were present. So this is our treatments that we had in both locations. Now, in 2010, both sites were planted. However, only the Kentucky site was actually fertilized in that year. Lafayette got planted a little late, and it just was relocated to the following year. But our treatments include, in the first year, we have a zero treatment, a 50, 75, 100, and 150 kilograms per hectare. In the subsequent year, the zero treatment was then split. It either received zero the following year or 150, so that the sum total in both locations was either zero, 150, or 300 kilos. So we have the two extremes and then everything else in the middle, but they varied. So it was a sort of a systems approach on if we fertilize low in one year and high in the next, or low or high and then low, or even, which would be our zero, our 75, and our 150 treatments. I did a sub-experiment plot at the Indiana location where we looked at both carbon and nitrogen within a subset of the treatments and genotypes. We only selected two genotypes, the Illinois clone as our standard or comparison, and our open-pollinated Negara, which was a tetraploid. We had only five of the treatments, so we had the 00, the 0150, the 75, and then the other extreme, the 150 zero, and the 150 and 150 kilos. And we took six time points, but I'm only going to present July, August, and November. And we collected four tissues, the rhizomes, roots, stem bases, and shoots, but I'm only going to show the roots, rhizomes, and stem bases. The picture is on the right would be an indication of the difference in phenotype between the Illinois and the Negaras. So one was at harvest would be very leafy, where the other one would senesce and drop its leaves. So here's the Kentucky location. Again, the Illinois clone and one of the Negaras. So you can see there's a little bit of difference there, and that will play out in the quality analysis. So Kentucky yields. The first year was quite low, which we would expect in the establishment year. There was a genotype effect where we found the Illinois and the Mississippi were the lowest yielders, where the Negara was the highest yielding and the Negara open pollinated was somewhere in between. However, in the following year, we saw that the Illinois and Mississippi clone actually caught up and outperformed the Negaras, But when you look at the cumulative yield, we see that the Niagara performed the best over those two first years, followed by the clones and then the open pollinated Niagara. However, when we look at the nitrogen treatments, in our first year, we have absolutely no influence of nitrogen on yield, which would be on the left here. The insets are the nitrogen concentrations of the actual material that was harvested. So you can see the zero had the lowest concentration, whereas the 150 treatment did have the highest, and then the others fell in between. And again, when we look at the second year and the cumulative yields, although we do see some fluctuation, there was absolutely no yield differences at that site. And again, you can see the nitrogen concentrations do increase over time. In the second year across nitrogen treatments, but there was those played no role in actually influencing the yield of those at that site. Now this is at the Indiana site. So these are a little bit more mature because they were the second and third year of the establishment phase. And again, you can see the Illinois clone after leaf drop. It's pretty evident. You can see right down the rows, whereas the Niagara, you cannot. At this site, the genotypes were not nearly as different as what we observed in Kentucky. And that might be to the water holding capacity of the soil there, where it's a droughtier soil and it doesn't allow the water holding capacity there to influence the yield, since Miscanthus is a very water loving species. So the first year, again, we saw the Illinois clone and the Mississippi clone have the lowest yields, whereas the Niagaras had the highest yields. In the second year, we found no difference between yields, but that was the drought year as well. And then in the cumulative at the 0.07 level, we did see a slight difference in yields based on the genotypes. However, when we look at the nitrogen treatments, it's highly contrasted to the Kentucky site. We did observe in the first fertilization year that the 0-0 treatment was significantly lower than all the other nitrogen treatments. However, the nitrogen levels within the tissue is in the subset there, and you can see an increase in the nitrogen concentrations. And again, you can see that in year two, and then when we look at the cumulative yield, only the 0-0 treatment though was the lowest yielding, significantly lowest yielding as compared to the other treatments. So when we looked at some nitrogen use efficiencies, again, the Indiana site, this is across genotypes. It was fairly, it was similar in both years in that the clones and the Niagara clone had similar nitrogen use efficiencies. However, the Niagara that was open pollinated performed the worst, and significantly so. And then when we look at the Kentucky site, the Niagara open pollinated in the first year did perform similar to the clones, but the Niagara clone actually outperformed those. But in the following year, the clones had the highest efficiency, whereas the Niagaras actually had the lowest efficiency for those treatments. Quality. So I've highlighted the Niagaras there. What I really want to point out is that, not really looking at the numbers, but that when you look across all of those values that we've analyzed for, NDF, ADF, ADL, hemicellulose, cellulose, and ash, and then I also took a leaf retention because of this stark difference, what we typically see is that the clones were always the same across all parameters measured. But when we look at the Niagaras, they were typically significantly different from the clones, and even within the Niagaras, they were different. And that, what I'm suggesting, is related to the leaf retention, because as the leaf biomass with on those tissues is more digestible, it's able to influence those other traits. And we can see in my leaf retention ratings at the Kentucky site that the open pollinated had a significantly higher proportion of leaves than the others present. And again, we see the same trend at Indiana, where the clones were significantly different than the Niagaras, and even within the Niagaras, there were slight differences between some of the traits there. So below ground analysis, we actually dug up individual plots for each time point. There were three replications, and then what we would do is take the stem bases and separate them from the roots and the rhizomes. So it was very labor intensive, but very good data. So total below ground. What we can see here is the rhizome, root, and stem bases for the following treatments. And what I really wanted to point out here is the stark difference between the zero treatment and the 150 treatment in the rhizome. We do see that the other treatments fall in between, but you can obviously see that the rhizome tissue is what is holding a lot of the nitrogen that was applied. We have about a 1.3-fold increase from August to November. That's during the portion where it reaches peak biomass and then goes into its senescing phase and was completely senesced by November. So overall, there was a 1.3 increase in total nitrogen. And for the roots as well, there was a 1.3 increase. Then we looked at below ground amino acids. Again, we see this massive separation in the treatments of 0 and 150 in the rhizome tissue, but we don't necessarily see that in the root and stem base. Although they are significantly different, we don't see that. And specifically in the stem base tissue, we have this decrease from July through August. So it's it just continuously goes down in that tissue, whereas the rhizome and roots, they do either flatline and then increase as they go into their dormancy phase. There we had a 1.3-fold increase, a 1.2 overall, and a 2.2 increase in amino acid for roots. Lastly, we looked at proteins. So this is why, and with this one is, when we look at total nitrogen and amino acid, we can see an increase, but it appears to us that the way that the tissues are actually storing the nitrogen is in protein compounds. There's just massive increase in protein levels between the August and November time points, and we still see that separation between the 00 and the 150 treatments for both root and rhizome. So over there we had a 2.5-fold increase, and overall it was 2.4, and in the root tissue we had a threefold increase in the same compound. Lastly, even though we see these differences in nitrogen, it did not actually influence the below ground tissue. So the more or less nitrogen we put on, it did not actually increase below ground tissue mass. The main component that we found was just genotype, that the below ground structure was really determined by genotype alone and not by any application of fertilizer. So again, it's the rhizome tissue that seems to be the main component there, and the root and the stem bases provide very little, if any. So in conclusion, the yield responses are dictated primarily by location, where we saw no response in Kentucky, but in Indiana we did see that increase attributed to N application. So fertilization, we would recommend, based on these trials, is somewhere between 50 and 100 kilos per hectare for establishment. When we look at the paper by Cadu, they did a meta-analysis, and they actually came to the same conclusion that during establishment, you absolutely should not fertilize unless you're on a poor marginal site. And that's what we saw for the Indiana location, is that it actually does help in that instance, but otherwise it would be absolutely of no value to fertilize within the first 3 years. The quality was primarily determined by the genotype, i.e. their leaf retention. The NUE was fairly consistent within Indiana, but had large fluctuation at Kentucky. And the below ground tissue N was affected by N application, but the dry matter was primarily determined by the genotype. I'd like to thank these individuals for all their hard work, especially the lot of undergraduates we had cutting rhizome tissue and digging and all sorts of good stuff. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Okay. Time for a couple of questions.
Yes.
I have a question related to the biomass production. There's no significant difference. Yeah, the difference is in nitrogen use emissions, which is striking us because nitrogen efficiency is a kilogram of biomass per kilogram of nitrogen.
So right.
I think you alluded to that.
So
by the rhizome differences, which is really the natural engineer's efficiency in the stormwater, to evaluate these differences, because it's a reflection in the biofacts. Otherwise, it doesn't occur.
Right, so a couple things there. When we look at the Kentucky site, the first year, even though we had low yields, we had very high nitrogen concentrations within the tissue, whereas in the second year, we had much higher yields. We had almost threefold increase in yield, but our nitrogen concentration was nearly half. And so when you look at that, when you do that calculation, that's where you get these massive swings, whereas when you look at the Indiana location, the nitrogen or the yields were fairly consistent as well as the nitrogen within the tissue. So you don't see this wild swing. And I think that's primarily due to establishment, because miscanthus in its very first year, very, very intensive, where it's building its below ground tissue with very little above ground biomass. Secondly, I think the way we calculate NUE is primarily based on annual species, and so when we start applying it to these perennials, as seen with our below ground tissues, where we have this massive accumulation of nitrogen that's going to be reused in the following year, all of a sudden we have this conundrum, like we've applied nitrogen, but we also have this massive storage organ that also has this nitrogen in it. So if we're going to use nitrogen use efficiency calculations, we might need to figure out some way, because there really isn't a good calculation based on perennial species that I've come across. So I think there could be some definitely development work in that arena.
More or less, lecture you use a natural accumulation in the system, because you have differences in the stars.
Yeah.
For the maturity.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't contribute to the biomass. So a classic definition of nitrogen use efficiency has to contribute to the biomass production. Yeah, acidic.
Yeah.
So you need maybe to revisit that.
Okay. How did you test the
variability? So it was based primarily on, so it would be gram of tissue per the application rate. So it was gram of tissue for the applied amount of nitrogen that was applied, and we applied it in the urea form. So it's not, we would call this, like, I guess, a physiological use rather than an agronomic use. So we don't compare it to the zero. They're all within their individual cells, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right.